Welcome. You are listening to the podcast of Transform Church Philly. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to church. Pastor Bodie here. Hey, listen, we're wrapping up this series that we're in called The Treasure Principle. We've been digging into generosity and stewardship and the reality, the spiritual truth that it's what we do with the resources that God has blessed us with that really goes a long way to determine what God does for us blessing-wise here on earth, and also in our with the promise of reward when we get to heaven. It's been a phenomenal series unpacking this concept of generosity that matters so much to God, because God's primary goal when he comes to fathering us, loving us, redeeming us, is for us to be like him. That is the goal. That is God's master plan, that we would be like him in every area of our lives. And here's the thing, here's how it ties into generosity. We are never more like Jesus, never more like God than in the moments that we choose, than when we choose to be generous and reflect and model the heart of God to people. Generous with our finances, generous with our time, our talents, our love, our grace, our forgiveness. Man, there's so much power. When we are generous, God gets glorified. Come on. That's a thought for you this morning. When God's kids choose to be, whenever, every time we choose to be generous, this is why generosity grabs God so deeply, grabs him so intentionally and commands and pulls blessing down into our lives. So whenever God's kids choose to be generous, our Father in heaven gets glorified. He gets the glory. He gets the credit. He gets the honor. He gets the praise. When God's representatives choose to walk in generosity, God gets the glory. So generosity is something that every single one of us, as children of God, are called to. We've been unpacking the thought that generosity, giving, is never really about the money. Money is a vehicle. Money is a way we express generosity. But really, it's about our heart. And man, a powerful, powerful way to look at scriptures about giving and about generosity is this. Whenever the Bible talks about money, it's actually God taking aim at our hearts. Come on. One thing I know about my Heavenly Father, about God, is that, man, he wants our hearts. He wants all of our hearts. He has to. If we're going to experience him the way we can and the way the Word of God says that we should, man, God has to win in our hearts. But whenever the Bible talks about money, it's really taking aim at our hearts. It's the reason why we get so uncomfortable when preachers talk about money in church, because it's hitting into an area of church, of our hearts, of our lives, that we would rather not deal with. The truth is, many of us are more attached to our finances than we care to admit. God doesn't, we've been unpacking this thought, that God doesn't need your money. That's really not what he's interested in. He owns everything we have, every ability, every gift, every resource is actually a gift from heaven. It's actually his anyway. What he wants is what our money is attached to. He wants our hearts. Not really about the money, it's about your heart. Remember what Jesus said, where your treasure is where your heart will be also. You could say it this way. According to the Bible, money is like a magnet. Wherever we put it, it tends to pull our hearts in that direction. Pastor, I want to grow spiritually. Are you giving? Come on, that's the litmus test. It's the exact indicator of our spiritual condition. Well, that's biblical. Generosity, what we do with money is the exact indicator. Come on, we can argue and debate all we want to, but generosity is the exact indicator. Do you realize that in the New Testament, every example of generosity that is celebrated, it's not even 10%. It goes way, in some instances, it's 60%. In some instances, it's 100% in the New Testament. Come on, can I tell you today, come on, money is like a magnet. Wherever we put it, it tends to pull our heart in that direction. You want to grow, Pastor, you want to grow? Give. Come on, I guarantee you, give extravagantly, give according, not even to the Old Testament instruction, give according to the New Testament example, and I guarantee your heart will shift, your heart will begin to focus on the things of God like never before. But today, I want to wrap up this series, man, with a word that I think is going to help us I don't even know. This is such a fresh word. I came back into our studio. Come on, shout out TC Studio to re-record this, because I felt God gave me a fresh word just for this season. I don't even necessarily have a title, but I do have a theme and a heart, and it's around the idea when giving gets hard. Last week, we talked about giving when it doesn't make sense. But today, I want to unpack this tension. You know, we're in the end of year giving season and heart for the house. And I've been talking about tithing, not necessarily about a money tool, but rather as a spiritual growth engine. That, hey, this idea that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Try and catalyze and inspire spiritual growth through generosity. But the reality is that there's a tension, especially now as we head into our second lockdown, and I'm praying that you're safe and you're healthy this time around. It feels more personal. There's so many, just about all of us know somebody right now who has been affected by COVID-19, co-workers, uncles, aunts, parents, sisters, family members. It feels so personal. It feels harder now a little bit emotionally than it was in the beginning. Thankfully, there's a vaccine coming out and it's beginning to be rolled out, and praying that everyone who needs it gets it first, and there's wisdom and there's grace and integrity in the process. Can we pray about that? But I feel like God's given a word right now, especially around the idea of generosity. And generosity is so important, especially now. And so it's something that, man, I feel like we that if we get right in this season, God will help us. God will bless us. God will use us to glorify himself within our church and beyond. But I feel like God has given a specific word today. And maybe I'll call it remember this. I want to unpack three remember statements that I want to remind you of, that I think will help you as we go into these next few weeks and 2021. Three things to remember. Remember this. Come on, somebody. This is the word for today. Like I said, this is a very fresh word. I came back into the studio late at night to re-record my message. I felt God put this on my soul, on my spirit for you today. And the word is remember this. I want to unpack from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through verse 13. The bigger picture is generosity, living to honor God, representing God well with our resources. But there's something here that I think fits in this season. The context of 2 Corinthians, again, Paul writes to the Corinthian church. They are a messy church. They're a church that was real. They struggled often with obeying God. They had real issues that Paul had to correct them on, but he never canceled them for. Come on, you know what I mean? Cancel culture. When people don't do what you want or say what you want or act different, we cancel and we cut them off. Paul corrected, but he never canceled. He corrected, but he never cut them off. And he corrected, he spent so much time correcting the Corinthian church. Why? Because he loved them. The book of 1 and 2 Corinthians is a playbook on how to deal with all the messy and difficult people in your lives, man. Paul just pours out love, and he's coming at them strong, but it's coming, when you understand the Apostle Paul's heart, he's coming from a place of pure love, and he sees their potential, he sees their promise, what they could be. And so he never stops, he never gives up. I thank God that we're a church, man. We don't give up on people. We don't cancel people. We cancel culture here. We love people. We show mercy and we show forgiveness. But some thoughts here. Remember this, unpacking why it's so hard to be generous. The context, Paul's writing to his friends in Corinth. His church plant in Corinth, and man, he's coming at them. He's coming strong against them. Not against them. He's coming with a strong word. He's coming with a strong word to encourage them, to correct them, to teach them. What I would say rather, in this point in time, historically, what is happening historically is there is a global famine that's hitting all the parts of the known world. In Corinth, it's not as bad as other parts. In Jerusalem, it's extremely difficult. So the church leaders and elders come up with a plan, Acts 11, to raise funds and resources and goods to relieve the suffering believers and people in Jerusalem. And so Paul canvasses his church friends and and Macedonia and Philippi and Ephesus, all the places that he's planted churches and Corinth, and he asked them to contribute to the offering, and promises were made and pledges were made. Come on, heart for the house, heart for Jerusalem. And so they began to raise money. And the Corinthian church made all kinds of promises. The famine was not as severe. They still had economic resources. It was still somewhat thriving, even though there was famine all around them. And Paul was counting on them to do what they said to do. And so, but they didn't. Well, they didn't come through. They didn't. When everyone else was giving, the Corinthian church held back. So Paul writes this to encourage them. He writes this, not so much to correct them, but I think to inspire faith in them. And I feel like in this season right now, that's what we need, looking ahead, to inspire faith. See why faith is so important. Faith is a bridge. Faith is a bridge. Faith is a bridge, and a bridge is a structure that connects two bodies separated by water or chasm where you can't get across. And so the bridge is built to connect one body to the next. And I think faith is like that. It's the bridge between where you are and all the promises of God for you. Come on, can I say it again? Faith, you have faith. Your faith, like a mustard seed. Jesus said, all you need is faith like a mustard seed. Your faith is all you need, but it connects you from where you are, it's a bridge, to all the promises of God. And so I'm praying that as we go through this morning, that faith is inspired in your soul, in your heart today. So I want to read, that's the context though, the famine. But also, this passage also reveals the tension that is mirrored in our lives. Pastor, it's hard, so I can't give. Pastor, it's difficult, I can't give. Pastor, if I give what I have, who will take care of me? The tension. So I want to dig into that tension right now, that fear, that anxiety. The reality that real generosity is often difficult, and so I want to share some thoughts that I think will encourage your faith this morning. The sermon title this morning is called "Remember This." Hashtag Remember This. Come on, bookmark this sermon. Remember this. Share it right now. This is a fresh word for somebody. Remember some things that God wants you to remember as we go into whatever this future has for us. Remember this. Remember this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 13. And I want to read this to you from the New Living Translation. It simply says this, and Paul starts by saying, again, the context matters to get application. These are people who had promised to give, who knew what the Word of God said about giving, who had the opportunity to give, who knew the reality on the ground, but something had paralyzed their faith. Something had caused them to close their hands and tighten their fists. Something had caused them to shut the doors on the poor and the needy and focus on themselves. So Paul, he writes and he says, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Verse 7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Come on, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Paul is saying to him in verse 7 here, he said, attitude matters. Yeah, if you're going to serve God, you got to get your attitude. Can I tell somebody right now, man, attitude. I've seen so many, and I see so many people, a blessing blocker. Come on, a blessing blocker is a poor attitude is a surefire blessing blocker. Can I challenge you right now? What's your attitude towards the Word of God? What's your attitude towards the teaching on finance, the money? What's your attitude towards your church? What's your attitude towards your pastor? What's your attitude towards your leader? What's your attitude towards God right now? Attitude matters. But Paul said, God loves. That's a heavy word. God loves a cheerful, which means God loves a good attitude. Come on, somebody needs to know, and you're wondering right now why things aren't flowing. God loves a good ass. Stop complaining about everything. Stop complaining about the government. Stop complaining about COVID. Stop complaining about your spouse, about your kids, about your job, about your church. Come on, stop. God loves a good attitude. Come on, that is a poor attitude is a blessing blocker. Somebody needs to hear that right now. And then he says in verse 8, and God will generously provide all that you need. God asks us to be generous because he's a generous God. Come on, I pray that we see this about our Heavenly Father, is that he is a generous God. That's who he is. He's generous. And then you will always have everything that you need and plenty left over to share with others. And this, as the scriptures say, they share freely and generously give to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered for it. What's Paul saying? He said, listen, remember this. Every child of God is called to be generous. God's purpose is for us to be like him in every area. We're never more like him than when we are generous. We are all called to live a generous life. That is the purpose of this series, y'all, to catalyze, to inspire us, man, to take hold of God's promise and live and determine to live a generous life. Generosity, a generous lifestyle has nothing to do with how much you have, but everything to do with how much of God has you. Come on. Let me rewire that and rephrase that and re-say it again. Living a generous lifestyle really has nothing to do with how much you have. It has everything to do with how much God has you. Ooh, I like that. That's a good word. It has nothing to do with how much you have, but how much God has you. How much of you God has. Come on. Living a generous lifestyle has nothing to do with how much you have, but how much of you God has. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer, then bread to eat. In the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. He's given them a picture of what their gift will do in people's lives. They will cause God to be glorified. And can I tell you, there's nothing more precious to God than when he is glorified. When he is glorified, people see him as he is, as a good, loving father. Can I challenge you to invest in that? Invest in outcomes like that, things that cause God to be glorified, which is why it's so important that you give to churches like ours or ministries like who are glorifying God. Man, this is so good. Verse 12, and so two things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of believers will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God as a result of your ministry. They will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to all believers and prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Paul is, make no bones about it, Paul is calling them to obedience. So this is truth. He is reminding them of truth that they already knew, but truth that their circumstances was making it hard to apply. Come on, making it hard to obey. God's truth is still God's truth, no matter what the circumstances are around you. God's promise is still God's promise, no matter what the circumstances is around you. God's instruction is still God's instruction, no matter what the circumstance is that we are going through. The global famine. They're called to give. They're turning their backs. They're scared. They're anxious. They're not. Their faith is paralyzed. Paul is inspiring. Paul is called. Paul is teaching. Paul is challenging them. Come on, somebody. Three things. Three remember statements. This, whenever you're watching this, because we want to confront the tension. Paul's confronting the tension. He's confronting the thing that is causing them to stop obeying God. Right? And so I want to confront the tension that in this COVID lockdown season that maybe, just maybe, is preventing you from obeying the call, obeying God's word, being generous, being open-handed, man, being faithful, being consistent. Come on, the pressure is real. The tension is real. Number one is this. Remember God is in it. Remember this. Remember God is in it. Pastor, are you saying God caused COVID? No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying God is in God is in the struggle. God is in it. God is in it. God's allowing it. God is allowing it. God, come on, during feast, what I mean is during feast and famine, during good times or bad times, God is still God. His promise is still his promise, and his word still works. Paul says in verse 6, remember this, and he begins to paint the picture, and he used the illustration of a farmer. And in that Corinthian culture, that agricultural culture, during a famine, He uses on purpose the illustration of a farmer during a famine. And this picture would have come alive to them, I believe. Understanding and the picture. And I believe Paul uses the picture of a farmer on purpose. A farmer's job, especially back then, might have been the most difficult occupation a man could have. Farming under normal circumstances was hard. Much less in a famine. Paul was saying, listen, even in difficulty, if a farmer plants just a few seed, he will get a small crop. But if he plants generously, he will get a generous crop. He's saying, listen, it's not about what's happening around. It's about doing the right thing with the seed that you have. Paul uses the illustration of the farmer and seed on purpose. Farming is hard, and sowing seed is hardest of all. Paul is comparing giving to planting, giving to sowing seed. He's comparing the resources that you have to a seed that a farmer uses. Here's the thing. The seed is everything to a farmer. Yeah, you're right. Your financial resources are super important. If you wanted to get a farmer's attention, you stop messing with a seed. Why? Because a seed is either food for his family or an investment in his future. Come on. To a farmer, seed is either food for his family or an investment in future harvest. The decision of what to do with the seed is the farmer's most important decision. If he eats it all, he'll have no harvest. If he chooses immediate temporary gratification, what he actually does is that he robs his future to satisfy his present. The decision of what to do with seed is the most important decision for a farmer. Do I plant it or do I eat it? Can I tell you this morning, come on, even in famine, in feast or in famine, the decision of what to do with your financial seed, when it comes to harvest, is the most important decision. Do you eat it all? Satisfy temporary needs? Or do you have faith in God and you plant it and invest it and sow it into the right places then with the promise of a harvest? The farmer knows that it's more important to plant the seed than to eat the seed. What's Paul saying? Giving is hard. Come on. Giving, generosity is difficult. But the thing to remember is the seed carries a promise of a harvest. So the thought, remember God is in it, but there is promise in the struggle. There is promise in the sacrifice. There's promise in the pain. That's what I mean. It's all about the harvest. If you eat your seed, even when things are hard or tight, or if you withhold it and don't plant it, not planting your seed is as bad as eating your seed or as throwing away your seed. The seed has to be planted. It's about the harvest. Hey, can I ask you, can I say this to you? What if the place of discomfort is the place where God actually wants to do his best work? What if the discomfort that you're feeling right now is actually evidence that God is at work, God wanting to do a greater work in and through your life? Come on, don't pull back your hand. Come on, lift. Come on. Don't pull back. Lean in. Illustration of this thought is a number of years ago, our youngest daughter, Elise, she was around 3, had to have some dental work done. And so they put her under anesthesia, day surgery, and they brought her out and they put some beautiful caps on her teeth because she had been eating too much candy and drinking too much juice. So the enamel of her teeth was being stripped away. So they recommended to us the best thing to do at this point in time was to get some caps up there and just make sure her teeth are secure and protected so she doesn't lose them. And so we did that. But I remember when she came out of the surgery and anesthesia, she was still discombobulated and disoriented, but she began to, I just remember her reaction. She was coming out, and she began to reach out to us, and she began to cry. She began to say, "Daddy, Daddy, my teeth are broken. My teeth are broken. My teeth are broken." And I was, at least your teeth are beautiful. They're perfect. But here's what was happening. She was experiencing something that was fact to her. She was feeling pain. But in her mind, she interpreted the pain as something was wrong. When in fact, the pain was actually proof that God, the dentist, had done his best work. She interpreted something as pain, as fact, that something was wrong, but actually it was actually proof that something good had just happened in her mouth. Could it be that the struggle, the difficulty, the tension when it comes to giving is actually proof, the way, you know, the hoping and the believing that God will come through is actually proof that God is doing his best work? Come on, there's promise in the pain. Your teeth aren't broken. Come on, come on. Come on, your teeth aren't broken. God is actually doing and has done his best work. Remember this. Remember, number one, remember this. God is in it. God is with you. God is in it. God is in this season. God is here. God is in it. If he'll be, if God's truth, God's word still works. God's promises still will come to pass. God's word is still God's word. Paul is saying, remember this, the farmer who only plants a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. God's word, God's principles still works. Can I tell somebody right now, God, you need to hear me say, God is in it. What I mean by, when I say God is in it, God, come on, God is still God. God is still God. God's principles still apply. Even, Paul is saying, God's principles still apply even when things are hard. Number two, remember this, God is still more than enough. What I mean by this is that we have to fix our focus in this season on God, on Jesus, and learn to be contented and be satisfied with God. I remember years ago, my pastor told me, he was sharing some faith with me, and at the time, I didn't get what he was saying, but he said to me, "Bodhi, I don't want anything in my life that God doesn't bring to me." And at the time, I thought he was being kind of arrogant. Well, who does he think he is? Anything, you know, people got to work. But as I got older, I realized he was teaching me the principle of being so focused on God that he, as your source, as your everything, man, that you are completely contented by him. Remember that God is more than enough. We need to learn to be content and be satisfied by God. Live, what I mean by that is to live from the inside out. Here's what Paul writes, said, "And God will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything that you need and plenty left over to share with others." God will generously supply all that you need. Paul, he's lifting their focus. What's Paul doing? He's lifting their focus from what they're going through, man, to the God in whom they should put their trust in. Here's the thing. The secret to generosity is not a bigger paycheck or perfect conditions. It's contentment. It's a focus on God. Come on. The secret to being able to be generous is not more money. Come on. It's more faith. Come on. It's more faith. It's focus on God. So here's the thing. The secret to contentment is focus. What are you looking at? Are you looking at God, or are you comparing yourself to everyone else? Are you looking at God, or are you focusing on the negativity and the challenge of the pandemic and the bleak economic forecast and the vaccine? What are you? It's good to be aware of these things, but man, it doesn't mean that we need to be focused on something. Focus means what your eyes are locked into. Here's three things that you and I should focus on. I encourage to focus on the character of God. God has never failed. He's never not come through for his people, for his kids. Focus on the promises of God. Come on. The promises of God still apply, even in a pandemic. And number three, focus on the love of God. Come on. This truth that your Father loves you. Come on. I'll never leave you or forsake you. God loves you too much. God, man, God, trust in the love of God in this season. Three things to focus on as we dial into a sense of contentment, being satisfied with God. Remember this, God is more than enough. Focus on the character of God, focus on the promises of God, and focus on the love of God. Here's what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. He says, but godliness is actually a source of great gain. Come on, great gain when accompanied by contentment. That contentment that comes from a sense of inner confidence based on the sufficiency of God. Is God enough for you? Is God enough for you? I don't want anything in my life that God doesn't give me. I'm content with God. Come on, can God satisfy you? Come on, can God satisfy you? His character is generous. His character is abundance. His character is faithful. Come on, come on, come on. You can't outgive God. When you let go of what's in your hand, God will let go of what's in his hand. Does the idea of God satisfy you? Are you enthralled? Are you intoxicated by the idea of your Heavenly Father? What's your focus? Here's the last thought this morning as we close and end out service this morning. Again, this is it's not a cute word, but I think it's an on-time word. First, remember, the sermon is called Remember This. First thought is remember that God is in it. God's word still applies. God is still faithful. God is still good. God is still on time. God is still God, no matter how big and bad the pandemic is raging right now. Number two, remember this. God is still more than enough. Learning to tap into the secret of contentedness. And contentedness comes by focus. What are you focusing on? What you focus on is the thing that you're going to fill up on. To be content means to be full of something, right? What you focus on is what you're going to fill up on. So focus is the secret to contentment. Number three, last thought as we end. And then we're going to pray together. We're going to pray, take a minute or two just to pray as we end our service. But here's the last thought. The third thought is this. Remember this. God is our source. Come on, God, not the government, not your job, not your spouse, not Social Security, not your retirement fund. God is our source. God is, this is what Paul was reminding the Corinthian church on about, that God is your source, not your economy. Come on, not your industry, not your governments, not your military, not your educational systems or what you're famous for. No, God is our source. That's what I mean by this. We have to have the right perspective. We have to look at life. Man, it's so important having the right perspective, especially right now during this pandemic. Somebody once said, they said the COVID is not the only pandemic raging right now. There's a fear pandemic. There's a hopelessness pandemic. Here's the thought. The most dangerous mindset to generosity, the enemy of generosity, is a famine mindset. Again, contextually, at this time in Corinth, in Jerusalem, around the known world, there was a global famine. It's one thing to have a famine around you, but it's a whole nother dilemma to have a famine inside of you. What I mean by that, you can't see past what you see. You can't see the faithfulness of God. You can't see the promises of God. You can't conceive the idea that God could actually come through for you in the middle. You can't see the abundance of God. You can't see the miracle working power of God anymore because you become so focused on what you're focused on that it's robbed you of what's available to you in Christ. Come on, somebody. Fear the fear of not, Pastor, if I give, if I'm generous, what will happen to me? Come on, what's that called? The fear of missing out. FOMO is the enemy to the plan of God for your life. Our fears have conditioned us. Our fears, the enemy is using fear to condition us not to be generous in this season, not to trust God, not to take steps of faith. Come on, somebody. It reminds me of this story illustration that I've shared before, but I think it fits right now. And it's how wild elephants, majestic animals, are conditioned to be controlled by a little man. And it's this thing called training crush. It's used around the world and in parts of Asia. And it's the way they condition this what should be a mighty elephant. fearless, king among animals, to make him feel less than and shiver and obey every command. It's a training regimen that is especially tormenting and painful and wicked. It should be, it is banned in many parts of the world, but it's how you see a circus trainer or a zookeeper in many instances, controlling this big elephant. It's a process they've gone through, training crush. What happens is a child is separated from its mother because the mother won't allow that to happen. It's separated from the mother at a young age, and it's bombarded with pain and torment. And they'll take sharp metal rods and poke it and put heavy chains around its neck and keep it tied up and captive. They'll burn it with hot and just condition it to pain and sorrow all around the object of a human master. In fact, there is scientific evidence that proves that an elephant will never forget the torment it endures during training crush. It's forever conditioned. So when it sees a man, it goes into this big elephant. His spirit, his mindset is crushed, and he feels like he is nothing. He never forgets. And it's the pain of its past. It's the pain of its past that the cruel master uses to control its training crush, and it begins to they reshape how it sees itself and how it interacts with people around him. Training crush. My thought is, if you see it wrong, we're gonna live it wrong. If we see ourselves wrong, come on, remember this. God is our source. Remember this, we have to have the right mindset. We have to have a God provision, an abundance mindset, because God is our source. Come on, see God. The enemy uses our past experience, our pain, our sorrow, the fear of missing out to shape our perspective to a point where we see God wrong, or we don't see God at all, and then we see ourselves wrong, and we come to the wrong conclusions that God will not come through for us. We come to the conclusion that, man, somehow God has forgotten about us. We come to a conclusion that somehow we have stopped mattering to God, none of which could be further from the truth. Our Heavenly Father, He loves us. He cares about us. He is for us. Come on, God is for us in this season. Three things to remember today as we wrap up this morning's service. Remember this. Come on, I feel like that's a phrase. That's a prophetic phrase for someone today. Remember this. Come on, God is in it. God's word is still God's word. Remember this. Come on, God is still more than enough. Come on, our God is faithful. God is bigger than the storm. God is bigger than the pandemic. God is bigger than the problem. Remember this, God is our source. Come on, let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for every single person watching today under the sound of my voice. I pray, God, that this sermon, this talk today will stir up faith, will cause them to remember the things that we already know. What Paul was doing, he wasn't bringing any new thing to the Corinthians. He was just reminding them of what they already knew. Father, I pray that we are reminded right now that you are a faithful God, you're a loving God, and you're a God who is for us and not against us. Father, I thank you. I pray for our church today. I pray that as we navigate the next few days and weeks and months ahead, I pray that today will mark a moment where we didn't lock down in fear, but we locked down in faith in God. God, I thank you and I bless you in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're watching, go ahead and scream amen with us right now. Amen, amen. Thanks for watching with us. Listen, we're praying for you. We're with you. We can't wait to share Christmas with you online. Come on, God is for us. God is not against us. If you need something that we can provide, reach out, the emails, the phone numbers. Join us on the prayer call tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Don't miss out. It's going to be dynamite, explosive prayers. We're going to lean into the promises of God that apply. We're going to remind ourselves in prayer of the promises of God that govern our situation right now. And so we are not abandoned. God is with us. We love you. What we're going to do, we're going to show a quick video, and then our team will come back and end the service with a smile. Have an amazing God and faith-filled week. We'll see you same place, same time next Sunday.
This has been a podcast of Transform Church Philly. New episodes are produced every week, so check back often. You can find details about services and other upcoming events by visiting us at our website, transformphilly.church. Have a great day.